Overheard at Yoga is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's get started.
Okay.
Okay, so welcome back to Overheard at Yoga. Today I have a very special guest, Laura Hunt. And lately I've been doing this thing where when I have a guest star come in, I just say, introduce yourself. So I feel like there's so much I want to say, and then half the time I'm like, oh, I don't know how to say it, so then why don't I just let you say it? So hi, introduce yourself to everybody.
Hello, my name is Laura Hunt.
Now tell me about who you are as a human.
I am a newbie yogi, is how, of course, I brought myself here today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, closer to your microphone, okay. Actually. You can move it.
2 years yoga.
Oh.
Born in California, mm-hmm. but I've been here longer than there, so.
How long have you been in Boise, Idaho?
I came here at the end of my junior year in high school, very angry, of course.
Oh.
I was furious that my parents would up and move me from LA to Eagle, Idaho.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Did you go to Eagle High School?
There was no Eagle High School. I went to Centennial.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And the girls were so nice to me. Yeah.
Were they?
No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
I was the new girl, so the boys were curious and the girls were mad. It did not look like the others. Oh. So, yeah, I thought I would get my diploma and make my way back home.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the first year, I hated it. And then the second year, I liked it, but I wouldn't admit it. And then the third year, it felt like home. And now I'm so grateful to be here. And, yeah.
So now you love Idaho.
Love Idaho.
Okay.
So much.
Awesome. Are you getting a little teary?
Well, yeah, it usually gets me. Yeah, I can tell that story any day, and it because I think about like the path of where I would have been, and just how beautiful Boise has been this, you know, since I've moved here. So it's been great.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm glad you're having a positive experience. Yeah. I grew up here. I'm from here. I took like a little 2-year hiatus when I went to school in Seattle, Washington. And somehow I just like, I came back here and I'm so glad that I did because I love it here and I'm happy that I've met you. Yeah. You've been coming to our yoga studio for 2 years. Mm-hmm. How did you get into yoga?
Well, I tried it a long time ago in my 20s and kind of felt like it wasn't hard enough. I can't remember what type it was, but it was not hot yoga.
Okay.
And, I think I was into kickboxing and, and so,
so you have a lot of fire element.
Yes.
You need some heat.
Yep. I did kickboxing long enough that they asked me to start teaching that. So I did that for a while. But, somewhere along the way, I ended up doing Prego yoga at the YMCA.
Were you pregnant when you were doing pregnant yoga? Mm-hmm. Or?
Yep, yep.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, these hips just were not going to allow a baby to come out, nor did they. It didn't work. But
what?
Yeah. So I did Prego yoga. And
what do you remember most about? Did they call it Prego yoga or did they call it prenatal yoga?
Prenatal. I just call it Prego.
Because if we were to ask you to do prenatal yoga, would you teach Prego yoga? Would you rename it?
Yeah.
And then use the Prego logo.
Yes.
From the pasta
there
sauce.
You go.
Oh my gosh. what do you remember most about prenatal yoga?
It was very relaxing. It was very dark. Lots of straps and, you know, things to help your body open in preparation for this baby to come out of your body.
Where did you do this class?
In the basement at the YMCA.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So did that. And I love being pregnant. I was living in my downtown condo, and I remember just walking on the green belt with my big belly and a strap to hold up my belly.
Oh and, my gosh.
People just smile at the pregnant woman on the green belt exercising. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. So, and then I stopped doing any yoga because now I had a child, mm-hmm. and, it didn't resurface into my life until life was shitty, really oh. hard. And I had moved out of home and had moved, let's see, 3 times in 1 year. And,
oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And one of those times was with my sweet, dear Jamie Todd, who brought me to the studio. She's like, we got to get up at 5:30 in the morning to go to hot yoga. And we left all of our children who were old enough in their beds sleeping while we would drive through the canyon because she lives out in Hidden Springs and make it to 6 a.m. yoga. And I don't really remember my first class there, probably because I had experienced some yoga before.
Mm-hmm. And you're probably tired and sleepy.
Yeah. And I'm with Jamie. So
you're in this transitional period. Yeah. You got stuff going on and your best friend's like, you're going to 6 a.m. hot yoga with me.
Mm-hmm.
So then you start going into it.
And maybe about the third class, then I could feel that, all right, I think I'm hooked. And then I couldn't get through a class without crying, of course, because all of the like emotional stuff that I was going through.
It's coming up.
Business owner, kids. Mm-hmm. And little did I know how it was going to unfold me. So, okay. Yeah. And I've just been going every single day since.
How do you do that as a business owner? Mm, how do you manage your yoga and family and business?
You just got to make that time.
You and make the time.
Yeah, you make the time. And you can. You know, it's something that I've learned in my business coaching with my salon world is you have to make time for your health or else none of it works. I mean, it's even changed yoga with you guys, has changed my my salon world and how I interact with my clients and just being way more present and almost not that I ever fell out of love with it, but it's been a 25-year career and it can get, you know.
When did you start noticing that those little changes were affecting you when you go to work at your salon?
Not at first. Not the work stuff, because there was a lot more personal layers that had to open up. And then it started to leak into my work world.
What was like something that you noticed, for example?
At work, coming back from quarantine, you know, we all had to ask ourselves when we go back to life, what are we going to make it look like? What are we going to change? What are we going to keep? And I talked to my team about this too. Like, hey guys, what do you want to do differently? And one of the things that I decided when I came back was I just wanted to focus on the one thing that I'm really good at. Mm. And that's my curly clientele. Since I've got it on my head, I speak the language of curls. So
yes.
I do a really damn good job at it. And so now I'm shouting it out to the world and it's working. So unfortunately, I had to let go of a lot of clients, partly due to COVID. I had to go pull way back to part-time. And some of these guests have been with me since I was 20. But it made room for that curly space. And that manifestation just really works, because now I have 90% of a clientele that's curly and kind of just, it was a reincarnation of my clientele. And in that, I felt a lot more present with how I interact and how I care before they even get there. Just creating that room, putting a little gift on the chair for their arrival and picking out like a little, a card now. I put a little card and a protein puck and a little chocolate out.
You are, I think gift giving is definitely your love language. And I'm really grateful that you do my hair because I'm not a curly haired person. But when my girl switched careers after COVID, I've instantly thought of you because I see your beautiful face at the studio every day and I know you own a salon. And I was like, please help me. Can you help me?
Help me.
And you're like, you know what? For you. Okay.
Yeah. And for you, you know, you don't have the curls. But I'm like, I will absolutely do anything for anyone in that yoga community.
I went to her studio, you guys, and she gave me a matcha green tea and a little gift and made me feel so beautiful. Yeah. And I can definitely tell that you are present in your space and you've created really good energy in your space. And so you would say yoga helped you fine tune where you wanted to specialize your intention.
Yeah, for sure.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And it definitely with the teacher training, you know, learning about all the yamas and the niyamas and the spiritual aspect of it, which even the word spiritual just always gave me a bad taste in my mouth because my mom was very religious. And so the thought of prayer, like, hell no.
You'd kind of had been turned off to that.
Yeah. So now it's totally changed.
What do you think was like a big piece of transforming you to being open to even using the expression spiritual?
Right. I think it had to happen just a little step at a time. You know how there is that misconception that yoga is a religion, and I didn't really give it much thought, but yeah, the deeper I got into the training, it just kind of accidentally happened, and it has to, you know, so that's good.
I feel like what I've noticed is yoga helps people just get more in touch with themselves, and everyone has a different spiritual leaning. We had a gal named Whitney, who teaches divine yoga. And she would do this once a month with members from her church. And they would put on spiritual Christian music. And she would teach a yin yoga class with some prayer and meditation and scripture reading. And I thought that was so beautiful. And she did this free for members of her church. And then she even opened it up to if anyone in our community wanted to come, they could come for free.
Yeah, that's
great. So we put it on our schedule and we said, this isn't through us, this is through Whitney, but you're welcome to attend. And it became so popular that another one of her friends, who's also a yoga teacher, and she's also Christian in the community, and she was like, well, Whitney, if you can't do it or if you want to add more, I'd be willing to continue this as well. So then we started offering it instead of once a month. It was now twice a month. But then, like, summer came and then COVID came and then and we haven't picked it back up, but I've been meaning to reach out. And I just thought, as someone who's not spiritual and also struggles with spirituality, I thought that was so beautiful that people could take yoga and help it connect with wherever they land. And for me, I'm different every day. You just got to ask me, like, what time of the month is it? What time of the week is it? Like,
Where's the moon?
Where's the sun? And then I'll tell you how I'm feeling today. And I just feel like yoga for me helps me just connect with being more open to the mysteries of the universe, which I just think is so gorgeous and beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of, you know, at the end of class, I started kind of doing this little chakra thing where I start up at the crown and down to the third eye and all the way down to your first chakra. And, and at first when I started doing it in a room, I mean, granted, everybody's eyes are closed, so no one can see.
Wait, what are you doing?
My hands are together in prayer.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm dragging my hands down. And when I first started doing it, I thought, oh my gosh, someone's going to see me and they're going to think that I'm praying. You know, like, here comes all of these bad memories as a kid again.
Oh no.
And now I completely own it. Yeah. So even at home, like, if the kids or someone kind of comes into my room and I'm meditating, at first I used to, I don't know, be a little bit uncomfortable of what if someone catches me meditating.
Interesting.
And now it's like, I'm meditating.
That reminds me of when Megan said when she was in college and she felt inspired to become a yoga teacher, she felt uncomfortable with that feeling and uncomfortable telling people because it just, she's like, well, if I'm not good enough, or what if I'm not good enough? And And I don't necessarily know that's what that means. I feel like for me, when I'm uncomfortable with something, I always, my friend would always say, it's like the first time you wear red lipstick. Mm. You aren't used to it.
Still don't
so you
like
don't
it.
Know how gorgeous you are. And so, yeah, right. Even now when I put on bright red lipstick, I'm like, ah,
not my thing. Yeah.
But I see it on other people. I'm like, it looks great. And so my girlfriend would always be like, it's like the first time you put it on, you don't know what you're doing and you don't think you look good, but you look great.
Yeah.
So
you just got to push it, lean into it.
That's how I feel when I'd work out at the gym, which I don't do that, by the way. But my boyfriend had a little home gym. So during COVID, he'd be like, work out with me in my home gym. And I'm like, So he would show me these moves and I'd be like, that looks super weird. I'm not going to, he'd be like, stick your butt out and bend your knees, but like lift your chest and you've got the weight here. And I'm like, that looks dumb. But then I realized, girl, you're a yoga teacher and you tell people what to do with their butts and their arms all the time.
Yes.
So then I was like, okay, just think of it like yoga. It's not yoga, but pretend and then you can get through it. And it was interesting to try something new when everything was shut down. I'm in this garage with a weight set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a great thing about yoga too, is getting into your body. Mm. At first you feel like you might look a little silly, and then afterwards you're like, I can't wait to look silly.
I can't wait to look silly.
Yeah.
There's this thing in yoga, hot yoga specifically, called a yogi group sit-up. I don't know what the actual yoga Sanskrit name for that is.
It's the one I can't do. Seriously.
So if you've ever taken a Bikram class, or a lot of hot studios offer this, it's where you're lying flat on your back, your arms are over your head, thumbs crossed, palms face up, your legs are zip tight together and you really flex your feet. And then you inhale, sit up, and you do this double exhale through your mouth where you reach for your toes and pull your forehead to your knees. But the double exhale, I always say this when I teach it, it sounds really funny. It sounds like this. Shh, shh. And I think I always preface it by saying it sounds funny because I always felt so uncomfortable and awkward doing it in yoga, even though I'd been doing Bikram for 10 years. I was like, this is awkward as hell. I wish the teacher would warn me that I'm going to feel awkward. So if I have a new student in class, I'm like,
here it comes.
It's going to be kind of weird, but this is what we're going to do.
All going to sound like a train together. Mm-hmm. It's going to feel really good.
And then there's always a couple seasoned yogis in there who are like, I love this breath work and I'm going to go hard and inspire everyone. And you're like, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When did yoga start to bleed into your home life and you started to notice it affected you? What were like little examples of where you'd be like, man, I think yoga is starting to do something?
Yeah, well, I moved back home Christmas right before COVID. Mm. Thank goodness, because that would have been weird.
Yeah.
Went home. And so I've got January, February, 3 months of just kind of creating this 2.0 version, and then it all happened, and I was at home, and for the first time I started meditating every day and had to do yoga at home because I had no studio and I refused to I guess during that time some people didn't take care of themselves. A lot of people didn't. I went the opposite direction of, well, if I'm not going to be running around this town Mach 10, then I'm going to take care of myself. So lots of yoga, meditation, and that was hard to do with your environment of, you know, at the time, fourth grader and sixth grader in their Zoom classrooms around me. You know, there's one kid at the table and another kid on the couch. And I felt it really start to happen in that, you know, you have to find your center in the middle of madness. And I was able to do it. And that's when I knew it was working at home for within me. I was able to walk in there a new person because of yoga.
Oh, my gosh. Like how many days of meditation were you like, oh, it's working?
Yeah. I did the little meditation app and,
which one?
Calm.
Okay.
And, I remember I posted like a screenshot of like a 30 day. I remember I did like a 30 day.
Oh yeah.
Meditation.
Yes.
And somewhere around there was also like a nope. I also stopped drinking coffee and went matcha. So it all kind of went together.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
What else did you do during COVID? Did you do a yoga teacher training during COVID?
I did. I was in your little experiment. Myself and let's see, how many was in our group? 9 mm-hmm. people that we did the online teacher training. And I love it because I have a recording of that. I can take it over and over, and I was able to do it from home.
But you had a little spot in your studio.
Yep. So then we were only shut down for 52 days, and now my salon was able to be open, and I'm doing the teacher training. So in the basement of my salon at 21 North, I have in my office a little corner of a meditation pad, and I got it all set up. I went shopping at Target or wherever and just made it all zen, and I would practice my yoga down there. And of course, there was a little bit of a transition where I had to leave the salon floor, which can sometimes be madness, and then go down into my zen yoga corner. And I had a little reputation for bringing a glass of wine with me to training.
Oh, you did? That's right.
Yep. Because there were certain days where it was just study and I needed to like eat dinner. And, you know, this was hours of online training. And heck yeah, I'm going to bring a glass of wine.
I think there was one time where we had just reopened the yoga studio, or I don't know what was going on, but we also had a virtual live session. And I remember one moment Laura's camera's on and she had just gotten out of yoga, and then it's off and then it's on again. And she's bent over with towel drying her hair and yoga clothes. And you're like, okay, so somebody's taking a shower. And the next thing you know, you're sitting in your car.
Yes.
And the next thing you know, you're like walking up to your, I don't know if I saw you walking into your building, but suddenly you're in your little yoga spot in the basement of your salon.
Yes.
And so when I finally was able to go see your salon and get my hair done, you showed me your little basement spot. I was like, oh my gosh, this is where you're sipping wine, eating dinner, and doing yoga in the midst of the craziness that is COVID.
Yeah.
And trying to run a business and trying to participate
balance.
In life and balance.
Yeah, all the things, kids and salon and my team, who I had to help steer them into, this is going to be okay, we got our PPP. So it was a lot of juggling, and I know that I wouldn't have been able to get through that without yoga.
Yeah. I'm just watching you get emotional, and I want to hug you.
I'm 45. I just, you know, I cry a lot.
That's okay.
So yeah,
I love yoga too. Yeah. I love to see what a positive impact it has had on you. And you say that you're a newbie yogi, but you dove to the deep end immediately.
I did.
I see you at the studio every day. You're reading books. You came on our yoga retreat. You brought all these awesome yoga books and just laid them out on the coffee table for anyone to browse. And you're always bringing yummy snacks. Mm-hmm. And you're just such a yogi in your heart. Yeah. I don't consider you a newbie yogi at all.
Oh, well, there's... I kind of created this True North bar at the salon. So we're an Aveda concept salon, and Aveda comes from the word Ayurvedic. Mm. And so it's a company that was created in 1977, and the founder came from Austria, and his mama taught him all of the holistic natural things of, you know, not only our outer beauty with plants and herbs, but our inner beauty. And so this True North bar at the salon is filled with tools to kind of help people stay on their True North path. So it has some yoga books, of course, but then it's got some non-yoga books. It's got some recipes. It has a functional nutrition business card of Barbara. Mm. I'm trying to think of all the things up there, but just a bunch of stuff. Oh. And then we just put up a bunch of recommendations for podcasts and influencers.
Is that in the little cozy community area where people can like have a seat and hang out?
Yeah, to put the waiting room. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was there when you were there last, but it's up and posted now. So favorite authors, just people that have helped me with my inner beauty. Mm. And I just want to share that with people.
Do you still teach yoga out of your salon?
I was doing it when the weather was cold and gloomy because summer just seems a little bit difficult to create that environment. So once the weather changes, then I'll go back to my Sunday, just kind of complimentary for the community. It's a way that I talk to a lot of my guests about it. So they get curious and then they come in and they take the signature hot hour that you taught me how to do. I can fit about 6 people in there. We have a great big room and it's so well lit and beautiful on a Sunday morning.
What time on Sunday morning?
I think we were doing 10 a.m. And then, of course, I would bring food and smoothies.
You're such an incredible cook, too. And you do like Ayurvedic cooking. Mm-hmm. I always feel good about what I eat. And you were making these delicious little... Did Barbara Henderson give you like a type of recipe for these energy balls? What are they?
Yeah, the protein balls. I just had one today. Yep. I keep making them over and over. Gosh, I feed them to my team. They're so good.
I have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
Oh my gosh. I was thinking about this and it's probably a little bit more of a serious story, but it's one that stood out. Of course, it was like a 6 a.m. and so you're just not awake, you're not aware of what's happening. And I was in the changing room and there was someone in there that she was talking, kind of mumbling, and I thought she was kind of making a joke or something. And then I realized that it was a lot more serious, that maybe there was a medical issue happening.
Oh.
And so we go into the hot room and we start practicing. And sure enough, as we're, you know, getting into our zone, you can see that this woman is struggling with something mentally in her head, and she's kind of wandering around the classroom. And the instructor, it was so amazing how she was able to very calmly guide us, keep us dropping down into our yoga practice, but still like kindly put her arm around this woman and help her leave the room and let her know that she should kind of, you know, come back another day.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was kind of like what was happening to me at home during quarantine, where you've got this craziness around you and just how that yoga practice teaches you, no matter your surroundings, to just breathe through it and stay calm and focused, and it'll help get you through. So it was a very interesting experience to see happen in a room full of people in your community.
Interesting. So the teacher just lovingly put her arm around her and was like, well, we'll see you when you're ready to come back.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. That's so beautiful. Yeah. Yoga just affects everybody.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for coming on my little podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So plug anything, like tell people where they can find you, your salon, your Instagram, when you start teaching yoga.
Yes. So 21 North Concept Salon. I'm on Orchard right next door to the amazing Luciano's. And yeah, we can get onto the website, find my curly stuff, my team. We are hiring right now.
Oh.
We're looking for 2 people. And actually make that 3 because we have a spa as well that we're growing.
Oh my gosh, so, that's exciting.
Yeah.
And then where can we find you online?
Our website?
Oh, like your yoga Instagram.
Oh, it's just my name. It's just me, Laura Hunt.
Well, I'll put your stuff in the show notes so people can find you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. I love you.
Love you.
Bye, guys.
Namaste.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga. But the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste.